Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show. Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Final hour for us, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Brandon Adams is going to join us in 20 minutes. We'll talk about the SEC meetings going on down there in Destin. I know Kirby Smart just had some comments about the biggest issue that needs to get fixed in college football now. So we'll tell you what that is and also BA's response to it. We'll get to an AMA at 1:40 to wrap up the show. Phone lines will be open for that, as they always are. In just a couple minutes, we'll get back into the big story of the day coming out of a long weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they're down there, you know, because obviously they're sitting there. They're, okay, so what is your thought process on this, Kirby? What is your thought process in Lane? And I think it's always one. It's always feels like, because Kirby's biggest thing, and he learned this from Nick, is kind of like feeding off the disrespect, you know, of everything like that. And I think he looks at it from a standpoint, especially this transfer portal, like, this is some disrespectful blank. I mean, like, how many times are we going to give these kids an opportunity to leave school? You know, that's so disrespectful. So I think that's what Kirby's doing down there.
As a way of motivation?
Yes.
Or as a way of...
A way of getting his way. Getting his way of moving the transfer portal.
I also like, because what he said was...
Because he's getting to be that voice.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What he said was, the biggest issue is multiple transfer windows.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to decide what we're doing there and to have one and all that kind of stuff. And he's right about that. I do agree. I think the most chaotic factor in college football right now, and there's a lot of chaos in college football right now, but I think the most chaotic factor is the December transfer portal.
Yes.
Is the fact that you have an opportunity for kids to go wherever they want in the middle of the playoff.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. So it seems like an easy fix.
It does.
Just move it to later.
Why can't you? Don't give me no more about students in finals.
Right.
Finals.
When I think that's
and all that crap.
What it is, though.
Being as far as so you can be registered in time for the next semester.
Right. Right. I know, but I think that's what it is.
Oh no, that's why they're doing it.
But
that's why they claim that.
Right, but let's be.
Yes.
But that's the problem with all of this is there was never any clear leadership into the future. So some things have sped up really fast. Some things are still anchored in the past. Some things are built on the new reality of NIL and transfers and money and revenue sharing, which is right around the corner, and all this. And some things are still based on this myth of amateurism.
Yes.
Like. It's, I don't know. I'm sure there's like dumber stuff that's happened in the history of sports that we just don't remember as clearly because we're not right in the middle of it like we are right now. But this is almost unfathomably stupid.
It's dumb as hell.
How this process has gone.
And
everybody knows it.
And that's the thing about it is I'm trying to figure out, I've never heard anybody, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that has said that this is good.
There isn't. There's nobody that's like, they've nailed it.
No, they got it right.
They got it pretty good.
Yeah, that's my only thing. It's like, you still haven't found that, just like, oh yeah, you know what? No.
If there's anybody that likes it, even though they wouldn't say that the structure is good or that it's a good system or anything like that, the people that like it are the media companies.
Yes.
Like, the ratings are through the roof. The clicks are off the charts.
Yes.
Now it's more, you know, as much as it annoys those of us that would like to be talking about football, it gives them something to, it's a very like NFLization of the offseason of college football, where now it's 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever remember there being this much fury in like March, you know, usually at college, but you'd have recruiting and you'd get excited and stuff like
that. I don't even remember the recruiting thing to be like this. So-and-so's on campus today, like this time of year.
I don't recall the anger and the outrage being quite 365 like it is now.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it always has been, but I think they do like that. Like, the people that cash the checks based on the engagement, I think do like that. But they can't be the ones that get to decide, can they?
No.
We can't let them be in charge. That's how all this crap has happened. Everything wrong. That's because
what it
of
is.
That.
It's a bunch of damn crap.
It's a bunch of crap. And I don't just mean college football. All the stuff that goes on that sucks is mostly because we've become dictated by clicks and overreaction. Speaking of that, I don't know if you've seen this or not. If you haven't, I'm trying to help you out because I know they're always trying to get you. There's a new TikTok trend where people call people and they wish them good night.
Did you not see my post late Saturday night?
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, happened.
Oh, yeah.
Dang
my,
it.
Oh, yeah. Tobias, my brother, calls me up. Hey, bro, good night. And I was like, and I knew something was up.
Of course you did.
I knew something
of course,
was up.
Of course
I'm
you
talking
did.
About my spidey sense. Because yeah, we're sitting outside, and I see Donna has her phone, and it's turned to her. I'm like, hold on.
Okay.
And so so this is what happened. So he's telling me goodnight and everything, and I'm like, uh-huh. I tell you what. And I said something. I said, oh, yeah, we have people over on Saturday, on Sunday at 5 o'clock. Make sure you're here, dog, and everything like that. And I said, because he likes to wear hats, and he wears some sharp-ass hats. And I was like, and don't be wearing none of them ugly-ass hats over here either. I'm like going in like.
So you were in on it.
I kind of figured.
You figured it out.
When he called me that late and then said, what's up, bro? Just want to say goodnight. Right. I ain't even trip.
Good.
I just went all the way to just clowning.
Because I feel like that's what I would do too if one of my best friends called me and said, hey, bro, I just want to say sweet dreams.
They tried.
I would have been like, all right, this is something. Yeah. I would have just been like, sweet dreams to you, and then hung up. But the guys that weren't in on it, those are funny videos.
Yes.
I will give the TikTok people credit for this one. Those are some funny videos.
Yeah, dog. And I was like, I was not falling for this. Dude, I'm on. That is what's wrong with them. They got me on high alert, dog.
Yeah.
Anytime they ask me a question,
you're always kind of on high alert. No, and now you're even on higher alert.
No, they got
alert.
Me so many times. They got me. I done got by every damn one of them. All right, I was not gonna fall for this one.
It was if you haven't seen them, like there's this one. This guy is calling his buddies, and he's like, "Hey, bro, yeah, no, I wouldn't talk to him. I just wanted to say sweet dreams, man.
Yeah,
I hope you sleep good.
Yeah."
And his buddies were like, "Hell's wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you?" They were furious.
They tried to get me, dog, but I did not. I was not falling for that one.
Sweet
dog.
Dreams is a really, really funny thing to say to one of your buddies.
Yes, it is, dog. Sleep. Like, I don't even like to say. I'll tell you, another one is saying the double bye.
What do you mean? Oh, bye-bye?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a big bye-bye guy.
I can't.
I'm trying to get it out of my thing because I do think it is a little soft.
I am not. The double bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey.
It's so soft, but I do it.
The double bye is like texting K to me.
Okay. I agree.
My woman says bye-bye, the double bye, and my wife will text me K.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. My brother text me K. Or say the double bye.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. You've never brought this to my attention before, but I've heard myself say it before, and I'm like, gotta get out of this. One's enough. One's enough, man, or see ya, or anything. You don't have to. And I'll be like, get off the phone. And we don't even do that many phone calls anymore, really, because everyone just texts all the time.
Right.
But I'll be like, all right, bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right, that's a goal for the rest of 2025.
Yeah, the double bye.
I need to be a single bye guy.
The double bye. It's just, you know, it's just
a double bye out of there. All right, let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non surgical treatment for joint pain.
Here he is, the long awaited moment. Acuna back to the plate. Look at this. I have goosebumps.
Some guys are just meant for the moments. Ronald Acuna Jr. is one of those guys.
What a tone setter. Welcome back, number 13. That's like out of a movie.
That's awesome. I think really good. No, I the bats have been really good. Obviously, the fielding is everything. I mean, I think he feels good. So I think that's a good first series for him right there.
I high-fived my wife. I don't remember if I've ever done that before. But when Ronald Acuna hit that home run, we were sitting in the living room watching it. And that way the kids are doing whatever, and we're watching it, and he tees off on the first pitch. And she's the biggest Braves fan I know.
Yes.
So she was like cussing, screaming. She was so excited.
She was cussing?
Like, yeah! She was so fired up. And we met eyes, and for one brief moment.
You wanted her.
I definitely that.
Yeah.
But just like, it was like, All right. And we just gave a big high five. Yeah. I don't think I've ever high-fived my wife. For a brief moment, we were Braves fan buddies, not just a married couple.
Yeah, I don't
know. And we hit the high five, and then maybe we hugged her.
I never have. No, because me and my wife had the handshake.
Okay.
So, yeah, we had the handshake.
We might have, like, a occasional, like, kind of sarcastic high five or something. But that was the first time I've ever, like, it probably hurt. Like, I high-fived her hard, you know?
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Ronald Acuna homered on the first pitch.
Dude, it was unbelievable. I think, you know, and we mentioned it earlier, you know, as bad as much as it sucked to lose a series to the Padres, having him back kind of levels it out. Now, that level can go down. You know what I mean? Yeah. As good as he might play and everything like that, and they're still struggling to win baseball games, it's going to be even worse. But, I mean, but you look at what happened. Like, we were just talking about it in the break. I've never seen – what did he think it was? Was he thinking he was saying go back?
Oh, with Eli White?
Or was he saying stop? Because to me, it looked like he had both hands up saying stop.
He was telling him to stop at third base.
Stop at third base.
And
what the
I don't know how anyone could be confused by that. Like, that's a pretty universal symbol for stop at third base. I don't know why Eli White would think to himself, oh, he caught it, I better go. Because he couldn't have been, I mean, it was 10 seconds after the ball hit the ground.
Yeah.
Where Eli White was trying to scamper back.
Where are you going?
I couldn't even think, because in real time, you watch enough baseball, everybody's watching enough baseball to usually, even when something weird happens, you're like, oh, okay. Like in that, I was like, what in the world took place there?
Yes.
Like, what did he think happened in order for him to have to go back? And then obviously, you see the video from a different angle and you see that Tui told him to stop. He didn't do anything weird. Now, people were ready to run Tui out of town already last week. Because of the send on Austin Riley late in the game. So before people knew the reality of the play, that man was in danger.
Yes.
Like, Braves fans were going to run that dude out of here.
Yes.
And then we find out, all right, it wasn't his fault. Bottom line is, whoever's fault it was, and that was Eli White's fault, this team's a bad base-running team.
Yes.
They make a lot of base-running blunders.
A lot of blunders.
They really do.
A lot of blunders, man. And it's unfortunate because they just seem like they're finding ways to lose damn games.
Yeah.
Finding ways to lose
they're
damn
not
games. Or
good
getting
enough
people games and things
right
like
now
that.
For and, this kind of stuff.
And you look at, like, we talked earlier. I mean, you look at the weekend of pitching, all three of them went seven.
Yep.
All three starting pitchers went seven.
Yep.
And so when you, especially in the day and age of baseball, where they've been trying to give them as less work as possible, they're putting in the work. We mentioned it Friday before we left. The starting pitcher, they've been giving you opportunities not to use Bummer and Blewett and
Iglesias.
Yeah, I'm not even mentioning Raffy.
Yeah, man.
I mean, is Raffy like, they need to let it. There it is. That's how we get his confidence. Next time they go bullpen game, let Raffy be the opener.
Oh yeah, just let him start.
Yeah, let him start.
Okay,
let him start.
Because they're trying all the different stuff.
They're trying everything.
He got a new entrance song.
Yeah.
The answer Snit gave after the game, I think it was Friday, is not going to make anybody feel any better. Mm-mm. You hear what he said? He said, yeah, we've been through this with Will Smith in 21.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That wasn't fun at all. That sucked. Now, again, Will Smith got very, very good the final six weeks of the season, and they won a World Series.
Yes.
But, like, is that what they're banking on? Is, like, just a – it's going to be the worst – 4.5 months of his career, and then for a month and a half, he's going to turn into Superman?
Let's hope so.
But again, like, let's hope so seems to be their plan.
Yes. What else do they have? Unless, again,
I don't know.
Are they, hold on, what the hell?
Dazbel Hernandez would be what I would maybe think about.
You know what? I just lost all my professionalism. I haven't seen my main man, BA, in so long. I forgot who that was in there. I was who the hell is that in the control room?
There were rumors that Brandon Adams was going to start showing his face in studio for our Tuesday conversations.
Yeah,
he looks just the same as he does on the podcast.
Yeah, but I haven't seen BA face-to-face in years.
Well.
You talk to him,
There he is.
There he is right there. Yeah, there he is right there.
He's also probably not very happy about the way Rossell Iglesias is pitching.
No, because he stinks.
He's just really not been good. He's really not been good.
Now, if they're in a close situation
tonight.
Maybe
win a game by more than three.
Who's going to be there?
Him.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, Raffy can't be there today.
Yes, he will.
In Philly?
Yes.
Braves up by one?
Yeah.
Bottom of nine?
100%.
Damn.
That's what Snit told you when he said.
Snit also tried to. Well, he did not blame the grounds crew.
He's blaming Pebbles.
Yeah. Whatever.
He's blaming Pebbles. No, we were blaming Pebbles a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Why can't Snit
do it? We pointed it out, Andy.
The infield's bumpy.
Yeah.
Infield's bumpy. Okay. But no, Iglesias is the closer, man. But here's my suggestion. Win a game by four.
And that wouldn't happen.
Yeah. They won a game by six on Saturday.
Because he's low leverage right now.
Yeah, he
low
is.
Leverage Raffy.
Maybe put him in a situation like that. Get his confidence back up. All right, we'll come back. Brandon Adams going to join us. Talk some college football, some Georgia Bulldogs football. He's in studio, so he'll be right over there coming up next. You'll notice how crystal clear the connection will be because he'll be in the room with us after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
3 day weekend.
Yeah, man.
We all just had a 3 day weekend. And it was fun. 20 minutes from now, we're going to get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, phone lines will be open. 404-726-0929. Be sure to get your questions ready. You can also text us or tweet us. Tuesdays at this time on this show for years now, Brandon Adams has joined us, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. And we've always enjoyed it. We've always enjoyed talking to BA. But for the first time ever in our conversation with BA, he's in studio. So we welcome to the Kia Studios, Brandon Adams.
What up, B?
We are face-to-face talking in person. What a difference that makes.
It really does. And I mean, you know, we've all met before. We've seen each other, but it's been quite a while. So to what do we owe the pleasure?
So we are now next-door neighbors. Our Dog Nation World Headquarters Studios, literally about 10 steps from where we're talking right now. So I thought, why not just walk over and do this in person?
That's really cool. That's awesome. So is this going to be an every Tuesday deal?
I certainly am happy to be here. I guess whatever works for y'all works for me.
I mean, we're always here on Tuesday, so yeah.
Yeah, we're never on remote on Tuesdays.
We're never remote on Tuesday.
It's like the most, like the least common remote day, so there we have it. And there's also a lot to talk about today as well because of the SEC meetings going on down there in Destin. We can get to what Greg Sankey said yesterday, but let's start with what Kirby said today, which is that he thinks the biggest issue facing college football right now, the thing they need to fix first, is that transfer window that happens in December. What did you make of what he had to say?
Well, I think that's pretty common for coaches. I think they're not that stressed out about compensation. They don't worry about NIL. But I do think the expansive nature of the portal, two different windows, one of them being post-spring, that's the thing that keeps coaches up at night. Whatever you have to pay the players, I think they'll figure out because most of these programs have, you know, access to revenue. But this lack of certainty month to month, year to year, about what your roster is going to look like, who's going to be on it, that is the one thing that I do think coaches want to fix. Now, I don't know when it gets fixed, but if you could give them the power to change anything, that's the thing they want to
change.
What
did you think about some of Sankey's comments? Because it ain't whiny, BA, but it's whiny.
Yeah, so obviously it's pretty volatile, I'd say. Now, he talks in kind of a monotone way, so I think you only realize after the fact, oh, he's taking a shot at somebody. It's sort of only true after the fact, but I don't think the expansion to 16 teams is a good thing. And even though I do believe the SEC deserves more playoff teams and certainly like the ACC and the Big 12, the idea of these automatic qualifiers, I don't think that's a good idea either, because what's going to end up happening is, let's say you do have that, 16-team playoff, four SEC teams. That means how you get in the playoff is going to be determined basically solely by how you perform within your conference play, which means you'll have non-conference games, but the win, the loss won't be consequential. And so now what you run the risk of, and this is the thing that a lot of our folks who are listening right now love college football just like we all do, what you run the risk of is taking the one thing that's made college football very special, the value of the regular season. We don't have load management. We don't have meaningless regular season games. We have pretty high drama week to week. That's why the sport's still so much fun. But if you make this change, I do believe that's the kind of tinkering that could potentially break something you can easily go back and fix. I don't think you want to get into a situation where Georgia playing Clemson last year, Texas playing Ohio State this year, where those games essentially become glorified exhibitions where the loser just sort of shrugs their shoulder and say, oh, well, you know, we'll see if we can make this up during conference play. But that's what you're running the risk of having happen for college football right now.
I'll ask you the follow-up that I've asked you a lot of different times about different stories that have taken place in college football, which is, okay, I agree with you. I agree with that. But do you think that that's enough to turn off enough people for it to matter in a big picture? Because you know what I mean? Like, they're weighing all of these things against, like, yeah, it might devalue the regular season a little bit. They're all still going to watch.
Yeah.
And it's going to make us more money at the back end in the playoffs. So, we again, I've asked you that a thousand times about, yeah, that's bad. Do you think it's bad enough?
Is it Ernest Hemingway, the old line about things happen slowly, then suddenly? I think I worry about this a little bit where if there's any erosion in fan support right now, it's happening so slowly we can't even see it. But that doesn't mean that one day it doesn't happen suddenly. And look, right now, and I think we've talked about this before, the games are so good. And, right. The games are so good that it's impervious to the sort of, I think, not always quite so smart tinkering that people at the top want to do. But that also creates a level of hubris where all of a sudden now you sort of use that as a permission structure to say, we can do whatever we want to try to, get more money because people are going to still always going to watch the games. Well, guess what? Back in, 2005, 2006, people would have said the same thing about NASCAR, and look what's happened to it over the course of the last two decades, that things don't always – they're not always guaranteed just to sort of continue in the same manner they've always gone.
I don't know if I ever asked you this. What is your thoughts on the 8 or 9 SEC games?
I think 9 is better than 8. And I'll tell you what the problem that would have solved a year ago. Now, I could give you, I think, several reasons, but let me give you one that always kind of comes to mind for me. We had a situation a year ago because so few of the top teams played each other – where I think at the end of the year, and I say this as someone who's obsessed with SEC football, I don't think we really knew, how does this team fully compare to this team or that team compare to that team? And we had, I would say, somewhat playoff-level teams, such as, Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina. They lost 3 times. They were excluded from the playoff. But they also played different schedules than, Texas played. If you have a 9-game conference schedule, more of those teams would play each other. Mm-hmm. And if you really are going to get 4 teams in the playoff, whether it's official automatic qualifiers, that's just what you get selected to have, I think you'll have better certainty as to who your 9 games are. Plus, when you look at the overall TV ratings, things like that, which I only partially care about, people really like SEC versus SEC competition. So by giving a 9th conference game, now that ESPN seems willing to pay for it, I do think in that particular instance, you're giving people more of what they want, and I do think it makes your tiebreaker scenarios at the end of the season a little easier to sift through because you'll have more common games between the top teams.
Brandon Adams joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy in studio, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. One of the things that Greg Sankey mentioned in his answer about some of the future decisions that are being made is what's best for college football, mm-hmm. right? And whether or not someone else is doing what's best for college football, he doesn't need to be lectured on what's best for college football. Does he have an obligation to even really worry about what's best for college football at large, or is his focus more on what's best for the teams that are in the SEC?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and we could probably talk about that for a very long time.
Oh, you didn't know this.
When
guests say good question, we celebrate.
Yes. Oh, good. Well, that's also a little bit of a crutch to sort of give me a chance to think of an answer to, just to be completely
honest. No, it wasn't. You just really love the question.
So let's compare Greg Sankey to Kevin Warren for a minute. Kevin Warren, when he was Big Ten commissioner, blew up all of college athletics, brought USC, UCLA into the Big Ten, Washington, Oregon followed. And then shortly after that, he just left, and he's the president of the Chicago Bears now. So that's clearly someone who was only kind of using college athletics as a plaything until he found the job, I guess, that he really wanted. I do think, by comparison, Greg Sankey is a college athletics lifer, so maybe by just instinct, he thinks more about the true best instincts for, plan for college athletics going forward. But ultimately, his bosses are the university presidents and their athletic directors who represent those university presidents. So in the short term, probably what's best for the SEC is the job he gets paid to do. But if nobody ever thinks about what's best for college football, then what we're going to end up with is not going to be what's best for college football.
Yeah.
So where do they go then? I mean, because I'm just waiting for, 98 days? I just need college football.
Wow. Yeah.
I think it's less. I think it's 95 or 4.
I take it.
Yeah, you're closer.
When are they trying to fast-track all this in European before these 90-whatever days?
Randy, to slightly change the subject, they don't even know how many guys are going to be on the roster a few weeks from now. The House settlement is supposed to determine whether or not there's a roster cap of 105 people. We've been talking about this for at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
We're to the deadline of this being decided. They don't even know that. They are literally building the rocket ship as it's flying through space.
Yeah, they don't know that. They don't know how many conference games they're going to play.
No.
They don't know how many teams are going to make the playoffs.
We're talking about for the 2025 season, right?
Yeah, they have the schedule in place for the 2025 season, but they don't have the long-term schedule in place beyond this year, and they don't know what their roster limits are going to be. They have no idea.
When they're not committed to 12 either for this year, 26 playoff.
Yeah, we could have.
It could be 16. The next time we have a playoff, they don't have a plan for that either.
Yeah, beyond this year, things are going to look wildly different.
It is remarkable to me, and again, it shouldn't be because we've been covering this the whole time, but how many people have just sort of looked to the next guy and been like, well, maybe he'll do it. And then he looked to the next guy and he was like, well, maybe he'll do it. And ultimately, no one's done it. And here we are, the deadline coming. Now, deadlines spur action, we always say on this show, and maybe this will be the thing that gets some of this stuff done. But it is pretty wild how many people have made a lot of money not making any decisions for what the future of some of this stuff looks like.
Let me give you one thing to think about as it relates to that, though. We are also coming into a world in the very near future where ESPN's business dynamics about to change. They're about to start offering an a la carte service that's not connected to cable. A lot of the money that college football has raked in recent years has been coming from the traditional old school kind of cable model. I'm still a cable subscriber, for instance. I do think this easy, you know, kind of faucet of money that always seems to run, that was really nice and good when cable and ESPN sort of functioned the way it always did. Let's see what it looks like when people now have to pay $30 a month for ESPN that don't kind of have the traditional cable model. I wonder if some of that also spurs change too, because the business of TV that college football has raked all this money from, that's also about to really, really change. And that could be the kind of thing that sort of forces college football to sort of figure out, okay, exactly what kind of structure do we want to have for the foreseeable future?
Hopefully something forces it. They've had time. They haven't done it. That's another one of those things, too, where it's like, oh, we'll just do it a la carte, charge $30. They'll pay it.
Yeah.
And they've been right so far.
I'm about to say.
Because I've subscribed to everything.
Yeah, just watch your team.
Just to watch my team.
Yeah.
Yeah. We watched a game, what was it, on it was on TikTok last year. And Washington played Illinois on TikTok.
Oh, is that right?
No, not really. But that's like, good. It's coming. It's coming.
Before you know it, I would have believed it, I guess.
Washington played them on Craigslist. They are streaming it live on Craigslist. Thank you, BA. Brandon Adams in studio. Always love the conversation. Follow him on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily. We'll come back and get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Call us up, ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years, guaranteed, on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Right From the Heart, rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Shout out to our
endlessly talented
listeners.
DJ Diesel just used that new Carl Anthony Towns a video of the no-look pass.
The pass. Everybody's seen this,
and they lined it up with the, hey, man. I don't even know what to say about y'all no more, man.
We both reposted it.
I don't even know what to say about y'all no more, man.
Ask and you shall receive, because we said it in the first hour. It's like, look, enough sending us the videos. Yes. We've all seen the Carl Anthony Towns pass. It's very funny. It's right in line with all the jokes we've been making about him for years. Which, by the way, he scored 20 points in the fourth quarter and brought his team back to an Eastern Conference Finals win. So I don't want to bury the lead because he's played really well.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, if we're going to do it, let's do it. Put the Prince audio to it.
Yeah, man. And DJ Diesel got it.
Did it.
Appreciate you so much,
man. Hey, a bunch of phone lines available if you want to jump on and ask us some questions during the AMA. 404-726-0929. Any question, any topic. But we will start with Mike, who's in Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
All right, real quick. The Ava just made it back from the five-day Cancun trip. Randy, I know you like going with the family. The kids side, they divide the south that's grown, the north. Right. It's the biggest resort down on them. But that side is jumping. Uh-huh. Now, Bunk, I saw a lot of people with kids, Lily and Jack, strollers and all that. So it's wide open, man. Great. It's wide open. And that side was really good. But on this one, since everybody want to come up with national this and that day, what would change in y'all day if it was national bring your wife to work day? I ain't going to listen.
Huh.
If it was national bring your wife to work day?
Yeah. So how would the day be different if it was bring your wife to work day?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, first we'd have to actually participate in it.
Yeah.
Because it's national day every day about
everything
something, and we usually don't
damn
do them.
National something.
But yeah, say we did a bring our wives to work day.
But like bring them to work and them just chill.
Well, that would be impossible. Knowing our wives.
Yes.
3 hours and all these microphones.
Yeah.
At some point they would want to use
them. We do remember how my wife did the AMA long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so yeah. Like my wife is not as sportsy as your wife. Like my wife, yeah, right. Like your wife is right. sports. My wife, she'll watch it when I'm around.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, she don't know nothing about that.
Right.
Yeah.
My wife's real talky though. Yeah. Loves
and,
it.
And then
loves to talk.
Yeah.
And doesn't mind talking into a microphone either.
But Donna would try to like formulate sports into something else, into an everyday something. And you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Into like picking out rugs.
I think more than anything, and I think like your wife knows this and mine does too, because not only did we work from home for a couple of years, but yeah, my wife is in broadcasting. Like a lot of people come and see this and then they're like, oh, that's all you do?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes you give away like a prize and it's like, oh, yeah, and you can go like meet Andy and Randy in studio or Duke Chabelle in studio.
Right.
And it's really fun for like 10 minutes.
Yes.
And then the second segment, they're just like,
that's it?
Oh, I guess they just sit there and talk, huh?
Yeah. What'd you think I did?
There's not much else going on.
What'd you think we did?
Yeah, we try to, you know, try to bring the entertainment value through the microphone.
But other than that.
But mostly we're just sitting here.
Yeah. Sitting here chilling and talking.
It is always really funny when people come in studio and how fast they get bored.
Yeah. It's like my kids. Like whenever
there's a TV out there.
Can we go sit? Can I go to work with you that? Yeah. Like they actually know. My kids think when they come here or whatever you want to sit in. They think that they're actually going to come and do this.
Do the show.
Yeah, no, she's going to sit your ass back there with Bo. That's what I'm
doing. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if they did bring your husband to work day, but I think it would be similarly like, all right, so this is what it looks like, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
What time's lunch?
Sounds good.
Can I go?
404-726-0929 if you want to get on hold to ask some questions. OG Money is in Decatur. Hello, OG Money.
Yeah. Short and sweet. Why did the SEC get rid of the Eastern Division and the Western Division? I think that format was perfect.
Okay.
All right.
Well, because they went away from the that deciding the conference championship game.
Yes.
They just two best records go to the conference championship game. And I think most of the other conferences did. I think everybody's gotten rid of
everybody's gotten rid of all divisions. That and everything. I still like the division. That was just me. But yeah, it would be something when, you know, especially when the East or when the East was always dominant, then it became the West was always the dominant one. So yeah. But yeah, they just trying to call it more parity. But go back to something BA said, like Georgia played all the top teams in the conference pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
On the damn road.
Yep, pretty much.
On the damn road last year. You know, and so I mean, and then obviously they all got to come to Athens this year. But, yeah, I like the East-West part about it. That was my – I never wanted them to go away from it.
Yeah, I think it was fine for the most part.
Yeah.
And then when you got all the new teams and everything sort of shifted and the playoff got bigger and all that kind of stuff, you know, it probably made more sense to have the two teams with the best record in there as opposed to a team that might be able to get by on one side of it on an off year or whatever.
Right.
So I understand. It's going to change again, though. Like, that's the thing.
Right.
It's like, whatever it is right now in your conference or in the SEC or whatever team that you root for, this is all temporary.
Yeah.
Like, this is all for now until they get to the final destination of Super Conference. And then I bet they're going to go back to divisions.
They might.
Like, they're going to do this long march to the Super Conference, and then everybody goes back to – and then these are the eight teams that you play annually. And then you mix it up with some of the other stuff. Like, okay, so kind of what it used to be.
When you mix it up, do you go easier or?
So what's interesting is I heard this morning one of the proposals for the 9-game conference is sort of like an NFL model of like strength of schedule from the previous year will play into your next year. So you're not just going to play the same teams every year like it has been.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make it. All right, you've kind of sucked for a couple years. You're going to play the other teams that also kind of suck.
Right.
And then when you get better, then you're going to maybe play the teams in the middle and then in the top or whatever, sort of the way the NFL tries to favor a team that hasn't been very good with an easier schedule. I don't know how easy that would be for the SEC to do, but I get it. Like Mississippi State's going to love that.
Yeah, they're going to love it.
Auburn's going to love that.
Yeah.
We're tired of playing Alabama, Georgia, LSU, all the Florida, all the best teams every single year. It'd be nice to maybe even it out a little bit, which I don't know. I don't know if they can do that. But here's the thing. Don't get too married to any of it.
Yeah, because it's all going to change.
Here's what you do need to get married to, though. 404-726-0929. We need some callers to ask us some questions for the AMA. Here's Rich in Alpharetta. Hey, Rich.
What up, fellas?
Hi, Rich.
Man, I got one question but a quick little backstory. So that whole good night, sweet dreams, I got hit with that two nights ago.
They got you.
I bet cousin, you didn't like that very much.
Nah, not at all, man. My cousin called me. He's Jamaican, so you know we Jamaican. He like, yo, what's going on? He tell me, I'm walking to the shower with my towel in my hand, and I just so happened to pick up. He like, bro, I've been calling you every night. I know you don't answer your phone after 10. So he's explaining to me. So he's like, yo, I just want to tell you good night, man. Sweet dreams, bro. Like, you know, whatever. I'm like, yo, I think you need to stop smoking, bro. Like, what's going on with you calling my phone about good night, sweet dreams? So I'm losing my mind. I'm like, your wife hearing you tell me this, bro? You tripping? So he like, bro, just chill. I just want to tell him, like, man, don't tell me. You should have told me in your mind, bro. Don't call my phone. So I'm like, bro, this is why I don't answer my phone this late. Y'all with this weird stuff, bro.
Yeah, man. But that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, man. Now, to tackle the whole saying goodbye thing, I don't do the whole bye. I don't do the whole bye-bye thing. These days, it's like, I'm going to hit your phone. Or if it's somebody important, we'll talk soon. I can't remember the last time I had a proper goodbye. But my question for the real question is, how long you guys think OKC can keep this thing together? Because they're going to have to pay these people soon. Mm-hmm. What you think they window up?
Oh, man. I think because they're still all homegrown. And, like, because Shea is eligible for the super max, right?
And he is going to get it.
And he's going to get it, and he better take it. Now, I know I saw some crap, and I still can't believe that this man gave up $100 million. Talking about Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. Jalen Brunson gave up $100 million. 100 man. 100 M's. All right? I don't see how nobody else is going to do that. Now, the thing with them is Jalen Williams, he's going to get a contract, but I don't think it's going to be a max, even though he did make All-NBA, though.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. Is he eligible for Supermax? For a max?
I think he's eligible for all of it.
Okay. So there's the rub right there.
Yeah, now you can't give him the same thing Shea gets because I don't think you can have two guys
you can't
and make that work. But.
Yeah, and now it's still OKC, small market, all those different things. But I think as long as they got Shea, they can build around Shea. Chet's still a young player on a rookie deal. Mm-hmm. I told you, they got a couple first-rounders that nobody knows that doesn't play. I mean, they got now Luke Dort and some of those guys might have to go.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
But they got other young players.
You're going to lose the really high-level role players.
Yes.
Like Luke Dort or whether, I don't know, if it's Cason Wallace or, you know, they have Alex Caruso right now because they were able to make a trade to get him. You're probably not going to be able to build out the, I don't know, how many guys down the pecking order is that? The fifth, sixth, seventh guys, you're probably not going to have that level of guy there like you do right now. But that's the thing about Oklahoma City that everybody said all year. I know nobody pays attention to them because they're in Oklahoma City and it's a regular season in the NBA. But, they're the deepest team in the NBA.
Yes.
And that's what makes them – one of the things that makes them so good. They also have the best player in the NBA.
Yes.
And when you have that guy and you're deep like that, then you can do this. And Jalen Williams is a star.
And they defend like nobody's business.
Man was an all-star, and he scored 34 points last night.
And they defend like it's nobody's business, Monk. Like, they get up in you, and they are a pressure ball club, man.
I feel like the NBA, though, is probably about to be a little bit more like the NFL in terms of you're not going to be able to keep your group together the way that you had been previously because of the new CBA. But if you have in the NFL, superstar quarterback. Mm-hmm. The NBA, if you have an MVP candidate or winner, then your window's open. You got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, your window's
open. Exactly.
Just is what it
is. Exactly. Exactly. When you got one of those guys.
The Nuggets window is still open.
Yeah, they got Joker.
Because they have Joker.
Yeah, you just got to retool and do some things around it.
Exactly.
But you got Joker.
Yeah.
You're going to always be in the hunt with him. That's why.
This group's window is probably 2 years.
How is that different than Giannis in Milwaukee?
He wants to leave. That's how it's different.
He wants to leave?
Yeah. So it seems like he wants to leave and he's polite.
Yeah. All right, guys. I know. I know what I said.
You know.
For life. But.
Because why else would they be talking about exploring whatever?
But this could be like the Myles Garrett thing. Like, all right, Myles.
Could be.
Can we meet with you for a second, man?
Could be.
All right, give us a seat. Yeah. All right.
But, yeah, I don't know, man. Who knows? Yeah. But, you're right, though. They have Giannis, their window's open.
Yeah.
Just got to put the right things around him.
Exactly.
And they tried with Dame. It hasn't worked. Same thing with you name it. There's a handful of guys in the NBA that are like that. But that's what it's going to take. You have to have one of those guys in order to build around. And if you don't, then you're various different types of not going to win a championship. Bray is in a van. Hey, Bray.
What's going on, man?
Hello.
I always got a question. Do y'all gamble? Because I remember listening to y'all Friday and y'all mentioned about if Ronald hits a home run in his first at bat. And I listened to the show on Saturday. I can't remember who exactly said it, but they said the prop bet was 4,500 to 1 if he hits a home run.
Wow.
And 45,000 to 1 if he hits it on the first pitch. And
damn.
I was just like y'all would have been some rich guys
had y'all said
$50 to $25 on that.
Yeah, bro. I think the numbers might have had your numbers a little off there, but I think the numbers were good.
Yes.
Certainly to bet on Ronald Acuña to hit a home run on the first pitch.
Yes.
You had pretty good odds on
that.
I said I was going to.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't.
But I didn't.
Yeah, you know what I
mean? I guess to answer the main question, do we gamble? Not a lot.
No, I don't. I do. I gamble certain times, certain places. That's it.
Yeah.
Very rarely do I make bets with people. And outside of a casino in Vegas, I don't really gamble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and my wife like to put aside like $100 or whatever at the beginning of the college football season. And then every Saturday pick a game.
Yeah.
And then if we do good, kind of build throughout the year.
Right.
Last year we did well. 2 years ago we did terrible. 3 years ago we did well. And like that. But not a lot. Not a lot. Derek is in Charlotte. Hey, Derek.
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on? I got a question for you, Randy. So when you came out of college, when you got drafted, if you had to still have your number, what's the highest amount you would have paid to have your number if somebody else had your number? And number two, what's one rule in sports that you would change?
Thank you, Derek.
Oh, there's no amount of money that I would ever pay to wear a damn jersey number. Let's call that what it is. There is no amount of money. For me to pay for a jersey,
he gotta really want it.
There's no number that I really wanted.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they gave me 81 like before my rookie year training camp. I was 48 the whole offseason. And then obviously Torrey Holt was 81 in St. Louis. I was gonna ask,
right.
I was messing with him. I called, hey man, let me get that off you. And then I got the same to the Chargers. Some dude had 81. He didn't matter. North took it from him, gave it to me. So I didn't have to buy that. I didn't have to buy it then.
He's got jacked.
Yeah, he's got took his number.
The rule I would change is I would get rid of the December transfer portal.
Yes. There's nothing more.
I'm in alignment with Kirby.
Yeah, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It is total chaos.
That's the rule I want to get rid of.
And I would get rid of the NFL having a hard cap. I just want to see Jerry Jones spend everything
just
he has.
Just let it rip, huh?
Just let it rip. I want to see Jerry. I want to see who's the big dog.
I would also install a hard bottom in baseball so they have to spend something.
Oh, I like
salary that. Floor is what other people call it.
Yeah.
I like to call it a hard bottom.
It's a hard bottom.
Well, you said, you know.
Yeah.
So,
that threw me off right there.
Yeah, give me a firm bottom in Major League Baseball. And get all these cheap-ass, bum-ass owners out of here.
Get them out of here, too.
If you can't do it.
Yes, get them out of here.
If you can't do it, then go do something else. You know?
There's a lot of stuff you can do with that billy that you're going to get that somebody's going to give you for that.
You're going to get $1 billion and you live in Pittsburgh. Yes. Buy a bridge, you know?
Buy a bridge.
Buy yourself a bridge.
And some
pierogies and keep it moving.
That too.
Yeah, you'll enjoy yourself. Just give it to somebody who wants to win. All right.
Because there's plenty of those.
Let's get the takeaways of the day.
You know the line for somebody to buy a sports team?
What?
I bet the line to buy a sports team is like long as hell. To buy some of these sports teams. I bet there's somebody out there to buy it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll buy it.
Hidden humidity makes people's cowards, whatever that meant. I put the coward part in there. And they're going to start banning gum in the element.
Yeah, we had a tough gum situation yesterday. I should have known better. The College Softball World Series is for big girls.
Yes, he did say that.
Carl Anthony Towns did something so soft that Randy had to invent a new word. Softsy. And Major League Baseball needs a firm bottom to get the owners to spend more money.
Yeah, tighten that thing up.
Yeah, we all would like to see a hard bottom. Don't say bye-bye anymore.
I'm working on
it. You can say what you want to say.
No, but I've thought this myself.
Yeah.
This wasn't – no one else is influencing me on this one. I've thought to myself – because I've talked to, like, our boss on the phone. They're like, all right, Rick, bye-bye. Yeah. You're not going to get a raise like that.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.